Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
This is Wonderful, a show where we talk about things we like that is good, that we are into. And what's up, sports fans? Hope everyone's excited for sports season to start back up again.
Well, for some,
all my friends talking about big games going on in the worlds of football.
For some, it's been going if you are, let's say, a baseball enthusiast.
No, really? I thought that sports were like school, where in the summer everyone kind of takes it off.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. I mean,
for them. For
the
sure.
Baseball players, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Probably a lot less injuries, you know?
Yeah, and also they don't even get to go to the beach. And I'm sure there's some baseball, that's not true. I bet you baseball players hate the beach. Because it's like, where are we supposed to play baseball?
Yeah.
It's such a narrow strip that we're supposed to... The baseball field is so crazy. It's the only sort of weird diamond-shaped sporting arena. And that is a shape that doesn't occur in nature very often. But football, you can play that on a beach. Volleyball, of course, designed for it.
It's like when you go on vacation and you're like, where can I podcast? What even is this? I want to podcast somewhere and I can't figure out where to do it.
Yeah, very few good podcast places to do it on the beach.
Yeah.
That's why no one's ever done a beach podcast before. No one would even try. They get grains of sand in their microphone. Doesn't work anymore. All you hear is rattling around every time I talk. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear a bunch of birds. Angry sea, like
waves.
Loud seabirds and
who would
waves.
Choose to listen to waves
who would
ever?
Want to listen to waves and boats and parasailers and regular sailors? Not this guy. I'll stick to my land podcast. Thank you very much.
Do you think parasailers ever say like, oh yeah, I'm a sailor? And everyone's like, it's like
a parasailor.
A parasailer. And sorry, in the biz, we just say sailor.
I would like to meet the person who, when they learn the fact that someone is a sailor, they go, like they've seen a mummy or something. A sailor.
I don't think I've ever met a sailor. It would be exciting, I think.
Have I? I mean, I don't know. I feel like,
outside of a musical theater setting.
Okay, fine.
There are a lot
really
of sailors.
Swept the legs out from under
there are a lot there. Of sailors in musicals for some reason.
Do you have a small wonder? I feel like the thing you normally would do as a small wonder is going to be my big wonder.
I know, right? I don't know if I've talked about smoothies. Have I talked about, I've probably mentioned
sure,
smoothies.
Of course. They're. Yeah.
To get more specific, I'll say the smoothie as a vehicle to get nutrition into your child.
Yes.
Our big son, slight boy.
Slight of frame.
We have been told to try and get him to gain weight.
Bulk up.
Anyone that has had a six-year-old is likely to recognize that they are often quite picky, including Big Son.
Yeah.
But then it just hit me. I just make him a smoothie. Just put a bunch of, you know, big-time muscle protein powder.
Yeah, sure. That's what they call them, big-time protein muscle powder for kids.
I'm going to go to GNC later. I'm going to be like, where do you have the big-time protein muscle for kids powder? Yeah.
Don't get it for adults. He will get huge and crazy looking if you use the adult big-time powder.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want him to get too big, you know? That's not something they want.
Well, I feel like you specifically don't want him to get too big.
I don't think it would bother me. His father, I don't want to feel threatened by my own offspring.
Not at age six.
Not
got plenty
at six,
of time.
Good Lord. My small wonder is gonna be, oh, it has to be. Here we go, baby. Tilapia.
Ooh.
Tilapia.
Yeah, okay.
The tasty, unassuming white fish that is easy to cook, tastes great, and I like it. It's, for whatever reason, the fish I have cooked the most and prepared the most and feel like I can't mess it up, really.
Yeah, it's not as like beefy as a salmon.
I don't
you
want
know?
It to be beefy like a
so
salmon.
So it cooks through real quickly.
Cooks through real crispy and get nice. But first time I cooked it a few days ago and did like a flour dredge on it, get a little crust on it.
It was nice.
It was good as hell.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah.
I go first this week.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about a TV show, a non-struck project. As per the SAG-AFTRA rules, this is a reality television show from our friends in South Korea, which this has been an absolutely baller year for reality television, I feel like. I feel like we can say that confidently because we are
experts.
Very, yeah, I guess as close as there
is. I mean, 1,000 hours, we probably put 1,000 hours into reality
television. I thought it was 10,000, but even that, I think we're probably inching towards. This year, I feel like all the like classics have been hitting so right. I would say Survivor this year, easily a top three season ever. Mm-hmm. Top Chef this year.
Top Chef was good.
Fucking excellent. We got a bunch of newcomers, a lot of which are new to North America and have been ported over from other regions. The Traitors was very, very good. We talked about Love Village. Did we talk about Love After Divorce? I believe we did.
We mentioned that we were watching it, yeah.
Yeah, two sort of romance reality shows from Japan that are very, very good. South Korea has been crushing the game, though. Physical 100.
Yeah.
So good. Can't stop thinking about it. Siren Survived the Island. Like, we were so obsessed with that show and just absolutely tore through it. And right now, our new obsession these past few days, hot off the presses, is called New World, which apparently arrived in many regions on Netflix back in 2021.
Oh.
But as far as I can tell, is new to us.
Ooh, that makes me excited that maybe there'll be another season quicker.
Oh, I hope so.
It's been out for a while.
I had a hard time sort of preparing the segment because I feel like pitching this show and making it sound like a good television show is actually kind of hard because the sort of base components of it don't sound all that special or spectacular. A lot of what makes this show good is the tone and the execution and the cast of it and how deeply the cast buys into the premise.
Yeah.
Of the thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of unusual aspects of this show and they work best because the contestants are just on board immediately.
And they are,
there's never any like Survivor style, like, I don't want to be here anymore.
No. Everybody is into it. So six Korean celebrities that are, they are mostly comedians from like the variety show, sort of panel show circuit, right?
So yeah, we get told they're celebrities, but they're not anybody we recognize.
Right. So like, think of, the nearest sort of point of comparison for like what we are familiar with is like, imagine if the Terrace House panel, like the six people who just like make jokes and are very, very funny and charming and talk about Terrace House, like imagine sort of that sort of vibe, that sort of camaraderie between these six people. I feel like a lot of them know each other already and have worked together on variety shows and panel shows in South Korea in the past. So they get to live on a utopian island in homes fashioned to their exact specifications.
Yeah. So we see interviews with each of them on the first episode where they indicate the kind of house they would want.
Yeah. So like one person's like, I want to live on like a seaside Grecian shack. And some person's like, I want to live in a very minimalistic place with lots of cleaning supplies, and then these things are provided to them. After they arrive, they receive phones, and the phones have like a local messaging app they can use to stay in touch with each other, a banking app, and that is very important because the goal of the game of New World is to earn a fictional virtual currency called Nyong, and they are told that after 1 week on the island, they can exchange that fake currency for real money back in the real world. That's basically the like overarching structure of the game.
And it's like 6 days, right? Or
yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
So the way they earn that currency is by taking part in games that are introduced and changed every day. Every day there is a new activity. There is a new game to play. And the games are the thing that makes this show special, are what make this show work, because they are so outrageously intricately designed and hysterically funny, like designed for just hilarious madcap antics between all of the different cast
members.
You know,
it's got kind of a Taskmaster vibe in that way.
Yes, that's a really, really great comparison that I had not.
I was thinking about the fact that like they're comedians, they're bought in, the tasks are kind of absurd.
Right.
And all of that is similar.
Yes. And in the same way that Taskmaster rewards lateral thinking, a lot of these challenges do as well. I don't want to talk about the first one because I think the first, I think if you make it through watching the first challenge of this show, you get hooked because there is a twist to that first challenge that I feel like just talking about it would spoil it, that like immediately tells you what kind of show it is that you're going to be watching. I want to talk about, because you, I feel like we have to discuss one of these games in order to sort of like drive home why are they so special. So the one of the episodes we just watched, the game for the day is this Monopoly-style property investment game where all of the different locations on the island, there's like a cafe and like a restaurant and a garden and like all of these different locations, you can purchase them with this fake currency from the bank. And then every half hour, the value of those locations changes. And so the idea is to buy low, sell high, you know, throughout the day so that you can cut a big profit. Those changes in price are telegraphed somewhat by rumors. And some of these rumors are like, you can just be walking around an island and come across two like NPCs, like just two of the like crew members on the island talking about like, did you hear they're building an underground tunnel under Sunset Crossing? And so like you could hear that and think like, okay, well, I need to get my hands on that property because it's going to go up. But that's just one way in which you can sort of figure out how the prices are going to change. Other ways include you can go to the New World store and buy cockroaches and then leave them at a location to drive the price down.
Yeah.
Or you can go to a place that is always open in New World called the Shadow Store. where everything is, there are like 30 cards laid out on the table. Yeah,
they're like little tarot cards.
Little tarot cards, and one will say like real estate glasses. Like they are not in any way sort of like, one is just called Shield, and the prices are exorbitantly high, and you don't know what it is you're buying exactly. And so, you know, you buy real estate glasses, and they're a pair of glasses you put on, and they tell you exactly how the price is going to change at the next sort of installment, right? But you don't know. One player buys something called the Shield. It's the first thing that someone buys on the show, and is trying to, like, keep it secret that he has bought this item, but he is handed this massive iron shield that he then has to carry around and just, like, tell everybody like, oh yeah, it's for the sun, the shade, it's just so hot out. So that is the thing you could do. One person buys the Newmart store and in order to raise the value of it, like changes all the prices of every item that is for sale for this Nyong currency, or like mops up the floor or takes over running the register and goes outside and starts shouting like, come on in, we got these new prices, we got new promotions running, which is like there's infinity little things like that in each game that is not outlined by any kind of rule, right? Which
no,
I think could be
I
very
know.
Frustrating for a lot of people who are watching it, thinking like they're just making it, it's very Calvin Ball, right? And but they lean into that in a way that makes it seem so fucking fun to be
yeah.
a part of.
Yeah, well, because all the contestants, they're kind of like in for the love of the game a little bit.
Yeah.
So like if somebody does something to sabotage them, they may kind of play at being upset, or
yeah.
they may, you know, have a moment of being upset, but there's a general like appreciation for how crazy this game is.
Right. Ultimately, everybody on it is trying to make a funny TV show. And
yeah.
and it is. It is hysterically funny. Like there is no, you know, I think, in this year alone of like watching all of these like reality television shows, mostly from South Korea, like I the language barrier has never once, I feel like, gotten in the way of understanding kind of like the point of the show or having the comedy absolutely land. Because we have had so many times just cackling out loud laughing at this television
Well, they don't
show.
Really reference their outside lives very much.
No.
That's what I think is kind of interesting is that, you know, we get told they're celebrities, but it's not like they're indicating what their real life is like. So we don't get distracted by that, you know?
Yeah, that is true. I also, man, I can't stop thinking about this Taskmaster comparison because I feel like that works for me. In this exact challenge, there's one player who doesn't buy any property the whole time, but instead follows the rumors. So there's one rumor of like, ooh, there's treasures that have been found buried in the secret garden. And people are like, okay, we're going to use that to inform our next investment. This dude just goes and gets a shovel and starts digging around and finds treasures that he then sells for a profit. Like, there is so much thought that has gone into the games. This is just one of the games. This is one day. The next day, different game. The day before that, different game.
And I will say, so you are earning money, but you are also spending money because they are charging you for meals.
Right.
Or they are charging you if you want drinks. Or, you know, there are opportunities to spend this money. So even if you are winning, you know, a bunch of things, you can still kind of choose to lessen your pot just to make yourself more comfortable while you're there.
There is a guy on the show who in the first day loses all of his money, just goes completely bankrupt. But in one of the challenges, he finds a key to a golf cart. And this is a big island that people are just walking around to, like, do these challenges and get from point A to point B. And there are some people who are like, this sucks. I don't want to walk around anymore. So then this man who is broke but has a golf cart becomes a part-time chauffeur. Yeah. And they will text him on the messaging app like, hey, Heechul, I'm heading down to the cafe. Will you come pick me up? And he's like, yeah, 2 million yuan, please. And they'll transfer it over to him and he'll go and get him. The characters on the show are like... perfect casting. I feel like by the end of the first episode, I knew who like everyone was and exactly what kind of vibe they brought to it. There's one woman on the show whose name I cannot remember, but has like murdered me with jokes like so many times.
Is she the one that like throws the biggest fits?
Yeah, she's very very dramatic about stuff like that. But it's I feel like it is, again, like there's so many moving parts to the show and they are constantly adding in more moving parts and the players are exploiting and also adding in more moving parts. It is a very, they are sort of making up, they are building the plane as they are flying it, it feels like, at all times on the show. While there is also this vibe of like, this is a utopian society where like you, the meals that they are buying are prepared by this like Michelin star chef. Yeah. It is unlike anything I've ever seen before. And there's a layer of meta reality on top of all of it that is like one of the challenges is a meteorite crashes into the island.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of camera tricks that are added in after, which kind of add to the like
the supernatural. Yeah, this like
magical quality. Like, they have the cast kind of react in a certain way so that later they can kind of add in more dramatic representations of what's happening.
It's great. It's very, very good. It is
so watchable too. Like our queue of shows is just kind of piling up because all we want to watch is this right now.
All I can think about because it from a like gaming perspective, I think it is hugely fascinating just because I never know what is going to happen in each episode, like how the rules are going to change and how people are going to find like these clever workarounds for them. And from a just pure entertainment value perspective, like it, again, it is fucking drop to the floor funny. And I cannot recommend it enough. There's also a new one on Netflix called Zombieverse that woman that I talked about is also on.
Oh.
That is another sort of like metafictional reality show taking place in the middle of a zombie apocalypse.
Huh.
That I am curious about, but I can't give the seal of approval of that. We haven't dipped into it yet. But New World, boom. That was the sound of the seal.
I hope they find a way to continue to do it. Griffin and I were talking right away about like, okay, so it's an island and they have houses for everybody's specific interests. Like, how can you do multiple seasons of this show?
Yeah, the production values, again, just like Physical 100 and Siren Survived the Island, through the roof. Like, this was not a cheap show to make by any stretch of the imagination. But it is masterfully made and for all those three shows I just mentioned, like I want new seasons of them every month, but every year will suffice. Please, please, please more of them. Thank you so much. Thank you. Can I steal you away?
Yeah.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
This huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his appleseeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
I'm Emily Heller.
And I'm Lisa Hanawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
We've been doing our podcast for over 10 years.
When we started, it was about trying to learn something new every episode.
Now it's about us trying to actively get stupider. And it's working.
Hang out with us and you'll hear us chat about
gardening,
horses,
various problems with our butts,
and all the weird stuff that makes us horny.
That's so weird, all that stuff. Baby Geniuses, a show for adult idiots.
Every other week on Maximum Fun. Baby Geniuses, we know everything. Baby Geniuses, tell us something we don't
know. The following pro wrestling contest is scheduled for one fall. Making their way to the ring from the Tights and Fights podcast are the baddest trio of audio, the hair to beware, Danielle Radford.
It really is great hair.
The Brit with a permit to hit, Lindsay Kell.
The queen is dead. Long live the queen.
And the fast-talking, fist-clocking Hal Upland.
See, I can wrestle and be an announcer.
Get ready for Tights and Fight!
Listen every Saturday or face the pain.
Find us on Maximum Fun. Now ring the bell.
Okay, my topic this week.
Yes.
Came from a bit of nostalgia. We went to a pool not long ago that had a concession stand.
Yes.
And I became really fixated on what items this concession stand would sell.
Right.
Because there are certain things that feel very much like pool summertime snacks to me.
Yes.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about, it branches off a little bit, but I will say it started with Fun Dip.
Fun Dip, sure.
Because this is a pool snack for me.
I agree wholeheartedly. When I looked at this pool's concession stand, I was agog at how they're the same ones from the pool that I grew up going to in Huntington, West Virginia, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's like mostly candy and chips. Like there's a few like actual kind of
but the
entree.
Candy's like cowtails. I don't see those anywhere else.
They had cowtails
there.
Huh. Yeah, I think I was more fixated on what our children would actually
eat. Oh, right. I'd fuck up a cowtail right now.
So I looked into Fun Dip.
Yes.
And it actually is a St. Louis originated snack.
Wow. Is this Lick-A-Made? Is that the company that makes it, or is that the name of the brand?
That's what it was called initially.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, so Lick-A-Made, it was originally envisioned to be a drink mix.
Okay. That feels wild. I feel guilty for eating it then.
The idea was they were making these like fruity powders that you would put into water.
Right.
For kids to drink. Kind of like Kool-Aid.
Right. But then someone at the lab accidentally got it on their tongue. And they're like, this is good too.
Well, I think when they were testing it with kids and or when they first started selling it, they realized very quickly that kids were just eating the sugar straight. Yeah. So they kind of moved from there. So it was Lick-A-Made. And became a Fun Dip. It started in St. Louis. There was a company called the Sunmark Corporation, which was founded in St. Louis in 1952. And that company was eventually bought out by Nestle and was called the Willy Wonka Candy Company.
Okay.
So that's like, there's a bunch of stuff that fits in that category.
I feel like, by the way, as the more we do this show and get into the history of like different sort of corporate fields, that it's always the same, where it's like, this cereal was made by one man who lived in Biloxi, and then he sold it to this guy who sold it to this guy, and now it's Monsanto. Like, it's all sort of gets funneled into one or two big things.
The thing I didn't realize, and this may not be true anymore, but I didn't realize the connection between a number of candies that are basically all the same thing.
Which is powdered sugar.
It's like the same kind of ingredients. So Fun Dip became Pixie Sticks.
That's the same. You're telling me that's the exact same thing. Okay, yes. I believe that.
Yes, what I saw. And then Pixie Sticks. So the flavors of Pixie Sticks are...
Do they still make those? Because we may need to explain what Pixie Sticks are.
They do still make them.
Okay, cool.
I've heard that it's harder to find the giant ones.
Go to a fucking Great Wolf Lodge, my man.
I know. I saw it in an article. They're like, you can't... Giant Pixie Sticks have been discontinued. And I was like, no, they haven't.
No, they have not. They go to the fucking Great Wolf Lodge. You can get one bigger than you are.
It's like a little like paper package that's straw shaped and it's just filled with sugar.
Yeah.
And you can tear off the end and dump it directly in your mouth.
Right in your gob. And then you get the energy you need to go roller skate.
So we're talking grape, orange, cherry. And then this was interesting. Maui Punch.
For
Pixie Fun Dip?
Oh, okay.
Fun Dip.
I don't know that. Honestly, the idea that the flavors were, I'm imagining a sort of amorphous, like unprofilable sort of flavor when I think of Pixie Stick. Like, it's all the same. It's extremely citric acidy, but I could not tell you what fruit it is based on. So the fact that there is one that
Maui Punch, for those curious, is blue.
Okay, not what I would expect.
That's what they call blue.
Okay. All right. Man, I want a Pixie Stick right now, and I don't know why. I feel like it would hurt my teeth actively as a man of my age and stature.
You know what's funny? I was curious about the nutrition information for Pixie Sticks.
Can't wait. 11 grams of protein. I do not know how or where it comes from.
So I looked it up. 60 calories, serving size, 7 straws.
No.
Can you imagine? Each, they're like 9 calories each per straw. Can you imagine eating 7 Pixie Sticks just back to back?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yes. When I was a boy and I needed roller skate energy to go faster on my roller skates and win the roller skate race. But that's the only context in which I would eat 7. Nowadays, I think eating 1 Pixie Stick is like,
to me, that is
tantamount to eating just a packet of ketchup. It's like, I need something. Okay. That's what I like about Fun Dip is Fun Dip, you at least have like the texture of the stick in there that you are dipping. And the stick is gross and no one likes it, but as a vehicle, as a scooper for that sweet powder, it does its job well.
Pixie sticks apparently used to come with a spoon. I think that's like the transition between Fun Dip and Pixie stick.
To me, that starts to get into the layer of like drug paraphernalia. If I see someone with a tiny little spoon that they used to, oh, that's good. That's 100% uncut Maui punch right there.
Which also sounds like the name of a drug. Like a
type of drug.
Yeah, so I found a 2019 article that was created at the KSDK NBC affiliate in St. Louis that talks about the evolution of, you know, from Fun Dip to Pixie Stick and then onward.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if the recipes are exactly the same across these candies, but the suggestion is that after Pixie Sticks, they compressed that powder into a tablet and made sweet tarts.
I believe it.
Doesn't that seem right?
That feels right in my mouth.
Next, added a sugar shell on the outside, Sprees.
Now that I can't rock with. Chewy Sprees I'll rock with, not regular old Sprees. I feel like just thinking about eating those hurts my teeth a lot.
Those
boys are fucking hard.
I was kind of fascinated because, I never really associated any of these candies with others. I mean, obviously, no. They're all just sugar.
Right.
But I didn't think of them as, like, the same flavor profile.
Right.
Pixie Sticks, like, part of what appeals to me about them is their sugar, but they also have this, like, citric acid tart quality to them. And so once I, like, realized that, I was like, oh, okay, sweet tarts. Yeah, that does make sense. And then Sprees was a surprise.
Yeah. But we can't do anything with Sprees. Is the end of the line, right? They can't do anything more to Sprees.
I don't know. Are there gummy Sprees?
There's chewy Sprees. The chewy Sprees are great.
No, I do like a chewy.
Sour Sprees, I think, are a thing.
I would believe that, yeah.
I love candy so much.
Yeah, I was excited to bring this segment because I know that you're a real sugar enthusiast.
Yeah.
Part of what made me think of this, too, is that Little Son has gotten really into lollipops lately.
Yeah.
And what he does, and this is not crazy, and I'm kind of allowing it because we have so many of these dum-dums.
Yeah.
He will enjoy a dum-dum for about 10 seconds, and then he will demand a different flavor.
Yeah. He'll just leave it lying wherever.
Yeah.
Our living room is speckled with tiny little sticky dots all around the room where he will just lay a dum-dum down.
Every time I hand him one, I think about how with Big Son, we used to be like, oh, you can't have a dum-dum at 8 a.m. Are you kidding? And how now with Second Son, I'm just like, all right.
Yeah. Well, we're very tired now.
And also knowing that he will never finish one.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, this isn't, it's not like he's eating like a whole bowl of sugar. He's just.
Now, as a result, I will not let him dip into Daddy's secret stash of Chupa Chups. Because that's
can I tell dum-dums
you? Are so small. Dum-dums are so small. You waste a dum-dum, it's like not great, but like whatever. If he took one lick of a Chupa Chup and then left remaining 11 grams of Chupa Chup lying around to be discarded, no way.
Can I tell you, like you told me where they were located.
Uh-huh.
And I saw them the other day when I was putting some things away.
Yeah.
I can't even reach that shelf.
Yeah.
Like they're very much yours. I can't get up there.
Is that true? I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, well.
I opened the door and I saw them on the shelf and I was like, I would need a stepladder.
They're very high up.
They're very safe.
I want you to be able to enjoy the Chupa Chups with me because they're so good. I've been eating them nonstop since I did that second audit. I've been living so good this past couple weeks.
So that's Pixie Six / Fun Dip / Sweet Tarts / Sprees.
Rank those.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Here's why I called it a pool snack. I've never purchased these. I don't choose them in a bowl of Halloween candy.
No.
But I definitely have a fondness for it. I remember buying Pixie Sticks at the little like penny candy store.
Number one, best of the best is?
I mean, probably Sprees.
Sweet Tarts. Really?
I don't really like... Wait, Sweet Tarts. I'm getting those confused with Smarties.
No, not Smarties.
Sweet Tarts.
Sweet Tarts are like sort of bottle cap shaped.
Yes. Okay, yes. I think I would still say Sprees.
Wow.
I'm thinking of Chewy Sprees.
Chewy Sprees kick ass, sure, but that's, okay. If we're lumping in Chewy Sprees, sure.
Yeah, I mean, my least favorite in the bunch is probably Sweet Tarts, actually.
Wow.
I don't think I like them very much.
Okay.
Pixie Sticks and Fun Dip, it's almost hard to really draw a distinction.
It's like asking if you want to drink like straight up or on the rocks.
It's whether or not you like that little candy stick. And I do actually like that candy stick and the Fun Dip.
Yeah.
So I might have balances to put that
it
out.
It's a mellow flavor. It's gross, mm-hmm. but it's mellow.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, I just like the idea that you like moisten the Fun Dip. I don't want to say moisten the stick.
You just did.
So I'm going to say you moisten.
You already said it. I mean, you ripped the band-aid. You already said it.
And you use that dampness to get the powder on. Yeah. Like, that's just clever.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Hey, do you want to know what our friends at home are talking about?
Okay.
Sarah says, my small wonder is toddler report cards. My two-year-old gets learning stories every month from his daycare that celebrate wonderful things such as finding a worm or being brave enough to go down the big slide. The most recent one outlines a learning plan based on his interest in, quote, feeding the dinosaur leaves and sand. It feels good to know he's spending his time with people who are encouraging him to explore the world on his own terms. And when an email pops into my inbox with a subject line like, Master of the Bridge, I know I'm in for some warm fuzzies.
That's so great.
That's really, really, really. Really, really super great.
We were so excited just about photos.
Yes.
I can't imagine getting like little discreet stories.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would hit so right. Allison says, my wonderful thing is free summer concerts. A couple weeks ago, Indigo D'Souza, who I discovered through this podcast, played a free show in Brooklyn, and it was so nice to sit outside and listen to some great music with my friends. Oh, I bet that's great.
That is nice. I always forget that that's like a perk of summertime, these outdoor concert free.
Yeah, we
things.
Didn't really do that this summer here in DC. We didn't really look into that. Not that we did it a ton in Austin, but like, I don't know. I remember my first summer in Austin, we all went to a Los Lonely Boys concert. Out on the green.
I mean,
it's, green.
It's different when you have children, right? Because
they hate Los Lonely Boys. I don't know why. How Far Is Heaven? Like, is a bop. I don't know why they disagree with that. Thank you so much to Bowen and Augustus for the use for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You'll find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you so much to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that are on there. You're going to find one that you really do vibe with. I promise you that. We got some shows coming up in Seattle at the end of the month. If you're going to be there for PAX West, come see Mabim Bam and Taz. And then in New York and Philly in October, we're coming up there around New York Comic Con time. So you can get tickets and all the info at McElroy.family. We have merch over at McElroyMerch.com. So go check that out as well. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you later. Do you want to say bye?
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Hope to see you again soon.
We'll get the door for you. Here you go.
I knew you were going to do that.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.